give him honor, give him praise in the house of God. Oh, we love you. We worship you. We magnify thee. We say, faithful are you. Awesome are you. Worthy are you to be praised, worshipped, and adored. We love you, O God. Just tell God that you love him.
Oh, yes, we love you.
Tell God that you appreciate him. Tell God you honor him.
You are worthy.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And that is why I'm grateful.
We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you, O God.
Blessed be the name.
Let's just continue to pray. I just want us to just pray for just a few more minutes. Let's just bless him. Just for a couple of minutes. Just bless him. Bless him. Bless him.
Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you. We bless your name.
Bless him.
Oh, we bless your name, Lord.
Just bless him with your understanding.
Oh, yes, we give you praise and we bless you, for you are the good God, gracious God. Showing mercy unto generations, oh God. Thank you. You are faithful to your word and you have promised, oh God. You are not a man that you should lie, oh God, or the son of man that you should repent,
oh God.
God.
We give you all the
your
glory.
Word and your promise is true, Lord.
All the honor, all
thank
the
you,
praise.
Lord, for your goodness and your mercy,
you
Lord.
You are worthy. Tell him that
oh,
he's
you
good.
Are worthy of our praise.
God, you are good.
Oh,
your
yes, we bless your name.
Your mercy is pure forever.
Oh, we receive,
you are the wonderful
receive
God.
Your goodness and your grace, Lord.
You are the awesome
oh,
God.
You are good.
We thank you for the opportunity
forever.
To worship you.
You are good and your mercy
you
endures forever, Lord.
You are worthy. You are good, oh God.
You are good
your
and
mercy
endures forever, Lord.
Forever.
You are
your
good.
Truth and
you are good and your mercy
endures
forever.
Your
mercy endures forever, oh God.
Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless the name of the Lord. Worship him.
We thank you,
Lord.
You
are
high and
lifted up. You are great.
You are
high
and lifted up, Lord.
Your
there
glory
is none like
the
unto
heavens
you.
And the earth.
There is none like unto you. We give you praise.
Thee,
we give you honor. We give,
we
you,
give
praise.
You all the glory.
We give you honor.
All
we give
the
you
praise.
Praise. We give
there
you honor.
There is none like unto
you. Are
thee,
God. You are worthy.
There
you are worthy.
Is none like
you are worthy,
unto
Lord.
Thee.
You are worthy,
Lord.
You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy.
As the heavens are higher than the earth,
we give you praise.
God infinite, so
we give you praise, Lord. We are worthy.
There is none that can compare to thee. You are awesome. You are
oh, we
faithful.
Give you praise.
You are mighty. You are glorious. Who is like unto thee? There is none as holy as the Lord.
Oh, we
there
give
is
a praise.
None besides thee. We worship
we
you.
We give a praise. We give a praise.
We worship you. Yes, Lord. We bless your name. Glory, honor, and praise. Glory, honor, and praise to you. We worship your name. We magnify thy name.
Blessed oh, be yes. the name
sing to him.
Of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands. One accord, singing, blessed be the name, Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
So we lift up holy hands,
so we lift up holy hands in one accord.
Tell him that he's
blessed be the name of the Lord.
So we lift up holy hands.
So we lift up holy hands in one accord.
Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, God is so
glorify thy name.
Glorify, we glorify your name.
We glorify thy name.
We glorify,
we glorify thy name in all the earth.
Oh, Jesus, we love
tell
you.
Him.
Jesus, we love you. We worship and adore you.
We glory.
We glorify thy name in all the earth.
Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. We glorify thy name
in all.
Father God, we bless and worship you. Speak to us. May none of us leave the same, O God. We pray that you impart your Holy Spirit into each and every one of us. For your word says in Ezekiel 2:2, and as he spake unto me, the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. Your word also says, O God, in John chapter 6, verse 63, that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. But the words that you speak unto us, they are spirit and they are life. Speak your word to us, and let none of us, I pray thee, be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. We may take our seats. You can pray amiss, but you can't praise amiss. Amen. Pastor Elon, you can, I'll just get a song. Hallelujah. Because you can pray amiss. The highest form of prayer is the prayer of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As you are striking a chord, it reminded me of the song about how the deer, you know a deer, when a deer pants for water, it's like their very lives. You and I must learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible says in John chapter 4, let us turn to John 4, 24. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Now let's start from verse 20, but this is what we're looking for. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus is speaking. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. This is what Jesus is saying, and that is true. Salvation is from the Jews. It started with Jewish people, because our Lord was Jewish. Hallelujah. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So God the Father is seeking for people to worship him. What does verse 24 say? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we must remember that God wants is searching. You search for something that is not easy to find. If I'm searching for a person,
I don't need to search for a person here. I can find a person here. I can actually select a person or choose a person. I don't need to search for a person here unless I'm looking for a particular person. But I can search for a pen because you can't easily find it. In the same way, God can't easily find true worshipers. And that's why he's searching for those. Look at verse 23. That's why he's searching for those. So the Father seeketh such to worship. Now, worshiping God in spirit and in truth means you are worshiping him with your being, and what you are saying is truthful. What does it mean? It means, what is worship? Worship is also placing great value on God, placing great worth on God. It's not just singing. So when you sing to God and you place great worth on God, then you are worshiping him in truth. It's like, oh, God says this, I take it. I love God. He's everything to me. And I prove it by following his word. I prove it by listening to what he says. I prove God's worth to me by what I can do for him, what I'm willing to sacrifice for him. So when I'm willing to sacrifice for God and I'm willing to do anything for God and I'm singing to him, it's in truth. But imagine someone is saying, what is singing, as the deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Let's start again. Listen to the words. The deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Hallelujah. So as the deer panteth after the water, so longeth my soul after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. So you are singing this song, and yet you don't think about God the whole week. You are singing this song, and you don't even, when it's time to worship, it's a drag. Or when it's time to read your Bible, it's a drag. Or when it's time to come to church, it's a drag. And you are singing this song. God, you can't expect God to receive it the same way someone who does those things. How he receives such people. He receives worship differently depending on what the person is doing. Whether the person is worshiping him in truth. Are you getting me? So when we are singing, as the deer panteth for the water, so longeth my soul after you. You alone are my heart's desire. God wants you and I. God will look into our hearts to find out if he is our heart's desire or whether money is our heart's desire. So when he looks into our hearts and realizes that, no, he is not even a tenth of our heart's desire. Even if it was 50%, he'll take it. It's not even a tenth. He'll reject it. That's why he's seeking for true worshipers, because it is not easy to find people who do what they are singing. Or who honor God and revere God and cherish God as they are singing. The words of the songs are not truthful. Say the word, and I will sing for you. Over oceans deep, I will follow. If every star was a song, and every breath of wind praise, it will still fail by far to say all my heart contains. I simply live for you. Let's start again. Say the word. Say the word, and I will sing for you.
It's okay. I'm just trying to get a point. Let's start again. I want us to listen to the words. If you can't sing it, it's okay. I'm just the words. Let's start again.
Say the word, and I will sing for you. Over oceans deep, I will follow. If every star was a song, and every breath of wind praise, it would still fail by far to say, all my heart contains, I simply live. I simply live for you.
Is that the truth? If he says the word, he said it already. Say the word, and I will sing for you over oceans deep. For you, get the words. Over oceans deep. Yeah, okay. You can sing. I will follow, but just softly so that people can get the words. I want you to understand the words. Do you understand? So say the word, and I will sing for you over oceans deep. I will follow. If each star, and there are billions of stars in the universe, if each star was a song, and every breath of wind praise, it will still fail by far to say, all my heart contains. Thank you. Thank you. Do you get what I'm saying? So what does it mean? It clearly means that if you and I, that is not how we feel or we behave, God cannot receive it.
Mercy.
So God is seeing a bunch of us, Christians, who are singing into the air. That's why Jesus said, you see, ye are they who draw near unto me with your lips, but your hearts are far away from me, and in vain they do worship me. We are not talking about goodness. We are talking about a heart for Jesus.
Amen.
We are not talking about per se a Amen. Good person. Even though when you have a heart for Jesus, you will try to do good and you do good. But we are talking about a certain desire and love for God that all you need to hear is, Lord, say the word. How does God say the word when worship starts? Oh, don't shut me down. Now, I will follow. If each star was a song. Now, the question is, if each star, all the billions of songs, was a song, and every breath of wind was praise, it will still fail by far to say, all my heart contains. Meaning that, imagine all the breath. How many breaths we breathe. You are the air I breathe. All that. Do we feel that way? When we are at home or we are at work, do we sometimes just remember God and say, oh God, you are so good? Is it the air we breathe? You are my daily bread. You are my
daily bread.
Is that the case? Is he our daily bread? Do we even have our quiet time even once a week for him to be our daily bread? So I don't know. I think God, for some reason, God wants us to hear this.
Preach it.
Because it just came from the note you are just singing, before I started. Is this what God... When we think about it, we must understand that God values worshippers. That's why David was untouchable. David the king, who was not... You couldn't touch him. Thank God my mother forced and made sure I was called David.
Amen.
Yeah. He was untouchable. Because as for love for God, he had it. Was he perfect? No. But the love for God. So the question is, perfection versus love for God, which one will you choose? Which one will God choose? Most of us will choose perfection, but God chooses love for God, because David wasn't perfect. And when you love God, God will make you perfect. Oh, glory to God. Did you hear that? If you love God, God will make you perfect.
Hallelujah.
So you and I must strive for perfection in loving God. So that when God, say to yourself, if God is looking down for someone who loves him, let it be me. Let me be one of the people who God can identify on this earth that he loves me. When God is seeking for true worshipers, let me be one of them.
We are all quiet.
You are preaching, you are talking to us.
Yeah. Say the word. So many times when I'm worshiping and it's not going to work, or I see that I'm far from it, as I'm worshiping, I say, God, please let this be my story. I'm not going to deceive myself. As I'm singing it, I say, Lord, let this be my story. I know it's not my story yet, because God knows. He knows more than you and I know. So as we are singing, you can even be crying with tears. It doesn't mean anything to God unless you mean it. There's a particular song that when I sang it, I skipped a certain part because I didn't believe it. It's like, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King.
What's the next verse?
Soon and very soon, no more crying there, we're going to see the King. No more crying, no more crying there, we are going to see the King.
Ooh.
No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah. When it gets to the first part, I don't sing it because I don't intend to see him now. But when we get to the second part, I sing it because I don't expect to cry in heaven. But by the grace of God, I don't intend to see my King now, unless through a vision or he takes me up for some time. So soon and very soon. Yes, it's relative. To God, it's soon. 1,000 years is like a day. So to God, it's very soon. But to me, I expect it to be later, even though I long for his appearing. Am I preaching to somebody?
You're talking to me.
Praise God. The laws of intercession.
Preach.
This was just sneak preview of the mind of God. I believe this is God's mind. God, in fact, this is almost like a prophecy. That's that God was just speaking to us because God wanted us to hear it. Amen. Hallelujah. Especially not just me. He wanted me to hear it because I was just hearing it for the first time.
Hallelujah.
At least what, of course, we all know these verses, but I was hearing what God was telling me for the first time as I was saying it. And you, all of us also. Amen. Amen. Now, the laws of intercession. Now, we talked about intercession. To intercede means to intervene, to interfere, to mediate. Hallelujah. Then we talked about the first law of intercession, which is how to intercede against the law of decay or degeneration. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, you could have worked very hard for something. Very, very hard for it. Look at Proverbs 27, 23, and 24. Look, you could have worked hard by to slip away. You and I can work very hard for something, but it will be taken away. You and I can work very hard for something, and it will just finish or decay or become useless. Hallelujah. For riches are not forever. So it means that even our accomplishments are not forever. But the Bible says in Psalm 91, I don't need to turn to it yet, that he will set us securely on high. So when he sets us on high, it's secure. And decay will not be certain. Am I saying something to somebody? But riches are not forever, and that the crown endure to every generation. The blessing you get, the blessing I get, it might not necessarily, there's no guarantee that it will last without God. And in verse 25. Oh, sorry, verse 24. For riches are not forever, and that the crown endure. Did you start from 23? Okay, go to 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock and look well to thy heads. And then the next verse talks about the fact that riches don't last forever and the crown is not guaranteed to your offspring's offspring and offspring. Hallelujah. Because Solomon said, how do you know that your son or your daughter is not a fool who would spend your or waste your hard work? Hallelujah. So you and I, yes, work hard, but remember that it is God who makes everything work. Now look at Psalm 127 verse 1. The Bible says, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Can I have more power in my volume? I've felt since I started that there was something missing. Hallelujah. Let's get some bass, some power in my voice. Amen. Except the Lord build the house. Yeah, can't you see it? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
That's right.
Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So you and I must realize that it is God who builds, and unless God builds what we are doing, it can decay, it can be taken from us, it can vanish. The caterpillar, the canker worms can eat them up.
Mercy.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number two we talked about was how to intercede against the law of the world.
That's right.
So that we will not become worldly, so that we will not allow the world to influence us, the world to destroy us. Now the world is very bad. Look at 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So the world is something to overcome. It's a bad thing. So the world is an opponent. Because everything in the world, hate, disease, lack, poverty, wrong, and everything you and I are praying about is the world. So whatsoever is born of God overcomes the problems which equals the world. Did you understand what I said? So the world is an opponent. Nevertheless, the world has a way of tricking people to embrace it so that it can slay them. Did you understand what I said? The world has a way of enticing people. The riches of the world, the cares of the world, it has a way of enticing people to embrace the world. Once you've embraced the world, then the world can kill you. Doesn't mean physically also, but I'm even talking about spiritually and no communication with God. Just take you out of the will of God. That's the world. And that's why the Bible says in James that the world is an enemy of God. So you and I must intercede against the law of the world. Intercede against worldliness. Intercede against you becoming a worldly person. You and I must fight against worldliness. And worldliness meaning loving the things of the world. And being worldly and not spiritual. Now the church, many people who are worldly are called spiritual. And people who are spiritual are called fanatics. Hallelujah. Number three, how to intercede against the law of the flesh. We talked about it. In the law of the flesh, pray before you go to the doctors. Pray before you have a surgery. Pray before you anything happens to you. Pray. Pray against medical mistakes. Pray against the law of the flesh. Pray against our flesh, the weaknesses of the flesh. We must fight and mortify the flesh. Hallelujah. We talked about it. Number four is the next. Now let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27. Hallelujah. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. There was a great wind, storm. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the man marveled, saying, "What manner?" But the man marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Right. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, interceding against the law of the elements is very important. Now, what are the elements? The elements are the wind, the sea, storms, earthquakes. Those are the elements. Now, you remember that the Bible says that when Satan left the presence of God, he went, in fact, he had a meeting with God, and God said, where have you gone? Where have you been? When Satan came to present himself before God. And Satan said, he has been walking to and fro the earth. And then God asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, seeing he's faithful in all my house?" And then Satan said, "Job, is it not because of your hedge of protection around him that he serveth you?" So that shows us that every Christian has a hedge of protection that God gives to them.
Right.
Even unbelievers have a protection, but the Christian has a hedge of fire, which is different. The hedge for a Christian is different from an unbeliever, because the unbeliever, if Satan had the chance, he would kill every unbeliever, because you have more people to go to hell. But now, there are many unbelievers like I was who will be saved.
Amen.
Because of you and I preaching the gospel.
Amen.
So Satan, if he had a chance, he will wipe everyone out. Amen?
Amen.
So Satan said, it's because of your hedge of protection around Job that he's serving you. Has not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Job 1:10. Thou hast blessed the works of his hand. Can someone deal with him so that I can focus on the message? Take him out if you need to. Hallelujah. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Verse 11, please. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine hand, forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughter and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." So as soon as Satan got power over Job's, everything about Job apart from his body, then armed robbers came, finished his business off. Let's continue. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee." Verse 17. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." When Satan is at his fullest power, things start bombarding you. This problem has come. Then the next problem has come. They keep coming and coming and coming. Just hold on. There's victory coming.
Amen.
While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am come to alone to tell thee." Now, you see how, because Satan had access to Job, he was able to cause earthquakes. He was able to, or winds, to affect Job. So you can see how he had control over the wind. When you read Revelation, the Bible will say that there are angels who have power or have control over the four winds. There are also angels who can stand in the sun. They can blow wind. They can do so many things. So it clearly means that if angels in Revelation are able to do that, then Satan, who was an anointed cherub, I mean, that would not be a problem for Satan at all to have earthquakes and winds and elements coming, destroying people's homes, destroying people's lives, killing people in earthquakes, killing people in storms. That shouldn't be a problem for the devil. That's why we need to intercede. I remember there was a time, Jerry, one of my guys who I knew way back in Minneapolis, hallelujah. There was a tornado, one of them, which one, but it was one of those two. And we're having a prayer meeting, and a half-night prayer meeting, and there was a great storm that was affecting his area. He declared, prayed, cast out, bind. He bound, binded. You can, if you want to call it binded. He bound, binded, dislodged every attack of the devil against his home, and destroyed every wind that was coming to his home. Can you believe when he went home the next day, the houses around his house were all messed up. His house was intact. Yeah, I thought you put your hands together for the Lord. Are you in the dreaming or you are listening? Hallelujah. Because this is a good message to clap. This is especially this testimony. It's a very good one. So you can clearly see how the law of the elements.
That's right.
He interceded against the law of the elements and it worked for him.
Amen.
So you and I, when we are traveling, even Reverend Mark, when he was about to have his celebration, the weather forecast said it will rain. But he said, oh God, no, my wedding, we have spent too much time. No, we've meant this thing for a long time. No, it's not going to rain. He interceded, he and his wife, and it did not rain.
That's right.
Did it rain? It didn't rain. But the weather forecast said it was going to rain that day. The law of the elements. What are elements? The elements are the earth, the wind, and the fire.
Amen.
And the water. Whether you know it or not, these elements can turn against our existence. Trust me, it can turn against you. You can be in a storm and your car can be affected. We need intercession so that these elements are kept at bay. When the elements turn against you, it can be a very bad thing. Hallelujah. Earthquakes, fires, floods, and storms. And that's why Jesus was able to calm that storm. The Bible says that there was a raging storm. It was boisterous and he was asleep. Then the disciples asked, Lord, we are about to perish. Don't you care? And then Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and calmed the storm. In the same way, you and I have the authority in the name of Jesus to rebuke every wind and calm every storm. Literal storms, literal winds, and winds of life and storms of life. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Are you going to use your authority? You see, this message is a practical one.
That's right.
So anytime we hear a message, take it that God is speaking to us. Because as we are here,
That's right. There
could be a storm that will come in someone's life or a particular element that will come and is coming towards you.
That's right.
And you cry or you would act on it and intercede against it. Which one will you do?
Right.
It depends on whether you are receiving what I'm saying. Because many of us might not hear it again, and a storm or an earthquake will come, and you'll just be crying, oh God, but oh God, a crying is not going to solve it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I exercise my authority. This earthquake will not affect me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's up to you. But believe me, we are young, and there's still a long way ahead.
Amen.
And there are going to be storms, and there are going to be things that will be needed to be rebuked.
Amen.
And you need to focus on what God is saying and those watching, and make sure that you rebuke every storm that needs to be rebuked. Hallelujah. And every wind. How many have heard of, even Ghana, Accra, wasn't there a situation with the blasting of the gas station? Some survived, many died. Though we had testimonies from a bishop from the First Love. testimonies of people who stood their ground, prayed, believed, and they were saved, yet many perished. Earthquakes. Minnesota, you think it's in Africa, but this happened in Minnesota where people were riding on a bridge and the bridge collapsed and fell into the water with cars in it. Not in Africa. If it was Africa, we would say that, oh yes, it's expected. That's for Africans. My people. But this was in Minnesota in the United States of America. As the bridge is falling, in the name of Jesus, otherwise you die because the impact, the heavier the object, the faster it goes. Hallelujah. So the bridge would get to the floor, the water before the cars. At least just based on physics. Mass and velocity, Einstein's theory of relativity. I don't know whether that comes in. Hallelujah. Art students, are you confused? Hallelujah. Mass and acceleration, velocity, hallelujah. Even Einstein's theory talks about E equals to MC squared. Hallelujah. Talks about the mass, how mass bends light, time, space, time, dilation, all these things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's a very wild situation. So I see you overcoming storms.
Amen.
I see you rebuking storms.
Amen.
Look at Mark 11, 22 to 24.
Hallelujah.
If you don't have faith, you don't ingest this, because you can have mind knowledge and you can have faith. If I'm sharing, there's a series I'm preaching, 7, 6, 5 minutes series on faith. And if you hear the word and you don't ingest it and let it enter into your spirit, including myself, because there are many things I also need to do also, it becomes hope, head knowledge. Head knowledge will get no results. In the name of Jesus, I stand my ground. The thing is coming to mow you down. Why? Because you are hoping and you are doubting. You are not walking in faith. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I take my authority. I'm standing here. It's not going to hit me. It will not. But if you are hoping, you better run out of the way and don't stand there. Stand your ground in hope. Otherwise, you'll be mowed down. Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he or she shall have whatsoever he said. Simple. If you don't intercede against the law of the elements in faith, then I don't. It's not only for your life or my life. It can, if you have a business, the law of the elements can end the business in a day. Just one single day, your business is finished. The law of the elements can, so many things can go wrong. And this is not a fear message. This is a faith message telling you and I that there are many things that can go wrong and everything can go right when we pray. Mm-hmm. Meaning that the things that can go, let me say it again. There are many things that can go wrong in a person's life, but when you pray, nothing will go wrong and everything will go well.
Amen.
That's what I meant to say. Did you get that?
Everything
goes well when we pray. And the things that don't go well, in quotes, or seem to be like they're not going well, are all working together for our good.
Amen.
Oh, I thought I would put your hands together for Jesus. So there's nothing like a misfortune for a Christian.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's a misfortune, because anything that looks like a misfortune will work together for your good.
Amen.
When Joseph was in the innermost jail, he was first a slave. Then he was cast into the innermost jail, hopeless situation. You are fasted in stocks in jail, no hope. Peter is in jail, about to be killed. And it's not as if it's a threat. James was beheaded or killed. However he was killed, James was slain by the sword. That's what the Bible says. So James was slain by the sword. He was also in prison, slain by the sword. Then they took Peter. And because they realized that it pleased the Jews that James was killed, then they sought to take Peter also to kill him. So Peter was in jail, about to be killed the next day. And he was fast asleep because of his faith. And because of faith prayers, an angel came to open the door.
Hallelujah.
I see angels coming to open your door of defeat and bringing doors of victory to your life. I see angels coming to, of course, you don't have anything to do with angels, but I see God sending angels to bring gifts to you, to bring blessings to you, vessels of gold, vessels of silver to you, as God sends his angels, who are our ministers. They are ministering spirits. We are not to serve them. They actually work for us. But God is the one who dispatches them to work for us. We don't do anything with them. All we need to do is to pray to God, and then the angels will work. We don't need to say a word to an angel, otherwise Satan will come and help you. But we pray to God, and then he releases the angels. That's why Jesus Christ, even though he is the creator of angels, he said, "Do you not know that I can pray my Father and he will send the angels, 12 legions of angels?" He didn't say, "I would," even though he had the right to do that. He said, "I will pray my Father." So you and I, all we need to do is to pray and action. Amen. God will send action. God will act on it. God will deliver us. God will bless us. God will open doors of favor, blessings, victory in our lives. Are you hearing the word?
Yes.
I'll just give you one more. I'll start one more point, and then we will continue. Number five, how to intercede against the law of humanity. John 2, 24 and 25. I'll just start this. John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Man. If you trust in man, hey hero. Those things don't bother me. Oh, Reverend, no, no. Jesus, Palm Sunday, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Oh, Hosanna. And then they say, some of those people, crucify him, crucify him. Normally it goes with the popular vote. And sometimes it also goes with how you are feeling. Human beings are happy with people, most people, based on how they feel. That's apart right. From love, family members who really love you or loved ones. But in general, masses go with the flow. Oh, I hear this information, or he or she did this I didn't like, or they spoke to me in this way, then they flow in that way. No more good. Law of humanity. I've been in a church where a person and their parent comes and speaks words of you will melt with the kind of words of affection and love and appreciation they'll give to God and to you. And then in that same token, later on, when it has nothing to do with you, but other people have offended them in the church, those same voices will come and say that this is not for me. Do you understand? You don't understand? Shall I explain it again? You can have someone, let's say Jane X, will come and say, "Pastor Elon, You, my son came here to school. You was an unbeliever. God has used you to make him a Christian. God has used you to help him and to make him a man. And I appreciate you. And this church is a good church. Thank you, God, for Pastor Elon." Pastor Elam has been a blessing to me, and my son is now a responsible person, and I know my son was going downhill, but when my son met you, God used you, because Pastor Elam has already warned people that never say God, you did, but God used you, because he can't do anything. So the person was careful to say God used you to be a blessing. Then later on, the son has a beef with one of you and is having a tough time, and then the same person comes and says that Pastor Elam, you know, the church, because of a few things, I'm not happy with it, I'm questioning the church. Human beings, it's not just that one, it's the story. You are smiling with Pastor Elam and I, but it can change easily. Not even because of any negative thing we've done per se, but maybe because we did not even attend a program of yours. Or we forgot to do something for you, or we rebuked you in a certain... There are so many things that can cause that. So you and I must realize that. So let's go back to verse 24 and 25, so you can understand, now link it to what I'm saying here. But Jesus did not commit himself to them. It doesn't mean we are not committing ourselves to you. You can tell we are doing that. But it's the next verse we are talking about. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Right.
In the past, as I started the church work and broken heart, not because of a girl. I had a girlfriend there and I was broken hearted by the girl. That's what we are talking about. We are talking about broken heart of people you've loved and said, this is your family. And they turn against you.
Wow.
Because of that, you sometimes ask yourself, wow, can I continue to be hurt? And then you say to yourself, no. Know that humans, just like I will disappoint, others will disappoint you. And know that we are human and there's a certain human nature in people.
That's
so
right.
Just continue to flow, love everyone, knowing that there'll be disappointments, there'll be happiness, just flow. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. Yeah. So there'll be disappointment. Your friends will betray you. Jesus, my own familiar friend who have eaten bread with me, has lifted up his heel against me. Yeah, his close companion, Iscariot, lifted up his hands, his heel. Actually lifted up his heel against me. So as for those things, they come, they will happen, but you and I must understand that there is the human nature. But the closer we are to Christ, the better it will be. Nevertheless, human beings are human beings. We can be smiling with Pastor Elam today, but it doesn't mean that you smile with Pastor Elam tomorrow. Okay. But really, you can be smiling with me today, but it doesn't mean you always be happy with me. You can smile with your isn't this, doesn't that happen with beloveds? Oh, my wife, my sweetheart, my sugar, my honey, or my Romeo, my Juliet, whatever you want to call it. But there are times that the person does not feel like a Romeo or a Juliet, because you are irritated, you are angry. Human nature, you can never get it right all the time. You will disappoint. Some people have actually left churches or left relationships because the person forgot to attend their program or visit them in the hospital. Yeah? Because it was very important to them. It can happen to anyone. Most people will be disappointed. That's fine. Disappointments, it will happen. You will also be disappointed. But it doesn't mean abandoned because you are disappointed. What do you think?
That's right. Teaching.
The law of humanity deals with human nature. Here we deal with two main areas: the reality of human nature and the reality of human error. Anytime I'm dealing with someone, whether it's something concerning my bank or my work or whatever it is, I'm dealing with people. Oh yes, we have done this for you. Yes, I've recorded. No. I repeat it for me. Are you sure? Sometimes I call back when they said they've done everything. I call back, and there've been a great number of times that they were wrong, errors. they didn't do it or they did it wrong. So you realize that there's a lot of human error around. Even some of the work I do, when I used to do malpractice, medical malpractice, some of the insurance calculations, medical calculations, claims made occurrence, you see how a lot, in the past, it's easier now, a lot of errors, they leave instruments in the body. They leave gauze in the body. They leave some scissors, some of these instruments in the body and sew the person up. And of course, infections, death, all those things used to happen. Human error. Until now, it happens, but very, very, it doesn't happen as much because they count now. You put it, they bring all the tools, they count them before, they count them after. They even ask the patient, what is your name, your date of birth, what procedure are you coming for? Because in the past, someone has a bad kidney. There are two kidneys, right? Someone has a bad kidney and a good kidney. They would remove the good one and then leave the bad one because they did not. They made an error forgetting that it was the left instead of the right. It's happened to many people. It's happened to many people. The law of human error. And that's why anytime we are going to go to the hospital, we are going to go somewhere, we pray. When I go to the doctors, I don't just say, oh, thank you. You have to have done your homework because the kind of questions I'll be asking you as my doctor, before I leave, the kind of questions I'll ask you, you would have to know your stuff. Because it's my life. Because the human error. There was a time a doctor told me that, oh, this is X. And I didn't believe it. I did one or two checks, and later on I realized that was not the case. And it was very important that I realized that he was wrong so that it would be corrected. But people would just say, oh, the doctor said, thank you. Human error. Human error. Sometimes you've done the test, do it again. Do the test again. Maybe you are persistently getting very high blood pressure when you go to the doctors. Persistently high. And they're about to prescribe medication it fixes you, but if there's no blood pressure, if you have normal blood pressure and they give you the medicine, what can happen, nurses? It will reduce your blood pressure. So you can pass out when you are normal and they are... Please, someone, the mic. It looks like I'm extending my time. But of course, it's going into the...
Okay,
yes.
So your blood pressure is normal and they think it's high, so they are giving you...
Yes. Yes.
So you just be passing out normal every time you pass out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
You see? Amen. So such a thing. But for me, God forbid, but let's assume X is in that situation. It could be that you are always nervous. You are someone who is very, very scared as soon as you enter into the hospital. Or you are someone who was rushing there. And when that happens, when you are rushing and you are panting and you are nervous, your blood pressure goes up already automatically, even when it's normal.
That's right.
So sometimes I say, listen, is this high? No, it can't be. Do it again. That's then I right. calm down. 99% of the time, it's much lower, even though it's happened maybe about 3 or 4 times in my life. It's much lower then. But you know, and then they give you the medication.
That's right.
Give you the medication. Human error. Pray against the law of human error, and also as you are praying, be vigilant. What do you think?
That's right.
It's very important. You have to. It's your own health care. It's not the doctor's. That's the doctor right. is helping you, but it is yours. It's not the nurse or the doctor. These two nurses here. It's not their bodies. It's your body.
That's right.
That's why they are helping you, but you need to help them to help you. By asking questions. What do you think?
Teaching.
Yeah.
We'll continue, God willing, next week. We're much out of time. Shall we stand to our feet? And let's ask God to be gracious unto us.
Yes, Jesus. Papa,
oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor.
Jesus.
Oh, bless the Lord. Bless his name. Bless the Lord. Oh, we give you the glory, all of it, all the honor, all the praise. We worship you. Intercede against the law of humanity, human nature, human errors, the wickedness of people. Wickedness of people. Intercede against wicked people. Intercede against human error. Whether it's error in your bank account, whether it's error in your body, whatever it is, error in medical, error, bank error, error in something concerning you. In Jesus' name. The law of human error. Don't leave anything to chance or to any professional. Pray about it and do what you got to do. Do your research. You can even have the best doctor. Of course, do the research. Who has the best experience, the least errors, the most amount of surgeries. But even that, they can commit error without Jesus. You still need to intercede. Intercession is cut across all the time. Intercession, interceding. No matter how sure you and I are, we need to intercede. Father God, we bless your name and worship you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We magnify thee. If you are here this evening, you are watching, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not born again, then you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. If you want to say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, I'm so sinful, I don't know whether he would even receive me. If that's how you feel, know that you are listening to the right person. God wants you just the way you are. Actually, he specializes in taking sinful, degenerate, horrible people and fixing them up. That is what he's good at. So come to him and surrender to Jesus and he'll fix your life. If you want Jesus, then repeat after me. Heavenly Father, shall we all repeat, including anyone watching? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
I confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe that he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross
for my sins.
For my sins.
I believe that God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus. Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Forgive me. For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you've prayed this prayer, God bless you.
Look for a church that serves the Lord. A church that believes in the Bible, the Word of God. And just look for a good church, or look for any QFC, Kodesh Family Church, or any Lighthouse Chapel International, UD Church, anywhere. Most likely, there'll be one right where you are. And just give your life to Christ. Look for a good church, and God will bless you. You need a church that will build you up. God can build you up and establish you in him. You need it, and God will bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take our seats.